Redwire Native Youth Media is a Vancouver-based organization which publishes two quarterly magazines that exist to empower and bring together the Native youth community. The magazine is free and can be picked up at the Redwire office located at Suite 521, 119 West Pender, or can be viewed online at www.redwiremag.com. For more information, either check out the website at www.redwiremag.com or give us a call at 604-602-7226.
In this feature of the World Peace Forum and what it was, we have the opening peace march and then three speeches from the Sunset Beach gathering after the peace march. And these two different audio spectacles from the World Peace Forum will be joined at the hips with a song from Harry Chapin called Wonder What Would Happen to This World. And I am Ryan Fletcher of CJSF 90.1 FM. Enjoy the show.
So here we are at the Peace March for the World Peace Forum. Pretty good turnout so far. People are still gathering together here at the Peace Flame Park end of the march. The march that is going from Peace Flame Park to Sunset Beach and also going from Waterfront Station to Sunset Beach. And we have Chris Roberts reporting from the waterfront beginning of the march. So here we're going to have some coverage here in front of attendees.
Are you interested in information about BC uranium mining?
Would you like to share some information with me?
The nuclear industry is waging a propaganda war. They want to convince us that nuclear reactors are going to save us from climate change. And in fact, the nuclear fuel cycle is so supported by fossil fuels that it makes no difference compared to natural gas. So, you know, it's a military cover for bombs and so on. Anyway, so because the price of uranium has gone up, all the companies are trying to mine again in BC. They're starting, they've got proposals in the Kootenays and they're starting one in the Okanagan. And we all got to get together and stop this. We stopped it once before in the mid-70s.
What kind of argument are they putting together? Like, how are they going to try and convince us that this seemingly ridiculous thing is true?
The ridiculous thing about climate change?
Nuclear reactors helping the climate.
Well, you know, they don't have to worry about it. It's true. They get people like, what's his name, the former former president of Greenpeace, you know, to lobby for the nuclear industry. It's all public relations and, you know, misinformation big time on television, that program in the States. So they can't convince us, you know. But the question is, you know, the issue, they've convinced the government, the mining industry is big time with the Campbell's, you know, government. There's uranium all over BC, and they've tried before and failed. So, you know, we all have to get together like we did in the mid-70s. Or it's the only place in the world that's ever stopped uranium mines and nuclear power is BC.
Is there a website people can go to learn more about this?
info@uraniumfreebcallonword.org.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Let me say also, the complimentary information on this is Amory Lovins' paper, his points about profitably abating global warming. He points out that through energy efficiency and alternatives and agricultural and forestry practices, changing them, that we can solve the climate change issue profitably, that whether or not it's happening doesn't even matter. We should do it just for the sake of our economy.
Okay, thank you. And what's your name?
Hilda Beckler. That's Amory Lovins at the Rocky Mountain Institute.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, so you got a sign that says World Peace Council. So I'm just wondering, what is the World Peace Council?
The World Peace Council is probably one of the oldest peace movements in the world. It was formed after the Second World War under the leadership of the important British doctor, the Red Dean of Canterbury, and also very many important leaders in Europe, including Nobel Peace Prize winners, The purpose of the World Peace Council was to mobilize all of the post-war peace forces that were concerned about ensuring that there wouldn't be a revival of fascism. And in Canada, the group that was affiliated with the World Peace Council was the Canadian Peace Congress under the leadership of Dr. James G. Endicott.
Does that still exist?
It does. And we are here today in order to protest Canadian involvement in the war in Afghanistan. We want our troops home. We are deeply concerned about the drift to what is a possible a nuclear war, that the Bush administration is acting in such a way that they are reviving an arms race, and their plans to militarize space is a deep concern to us and should be to everybody.
Okay. Is the World Peace Council anyway affiliated with the World Peace Forum in administratively?
It is. The World Peace Council is a endorser, international endorser, and participant in the World Peace Forum Society. Our event takes place on the 28th of June at the Foreign Sciences Building, UBC. The president of the World Peace Council, Fandora Lopez of Cuba, will be there, as well as Iraklis Savgirdidis, our international org secretary from Athens, Greece. We have Tadaki Kawada, a member of the World Peace Council secretariat. He'll be there from Japan. We have presenters from all over the world.
Okay, so this is going to be happening at the tail end of the forum then, is it?
It is, and actually we consider it somewhat of an anchor position, because we're hoping there that we'll be able to make some summation of the importance of this forum, not to speak on behalf of all of the forces that have been here because they're diverse, but certainly to make an assessment that we believe is basically one that has to deal with an anti-imperialist outcome of this event.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
What's your name?
My name is Don Curry, and I'm an executive member of the Canadian Peace Congress, and I'm also an executive member of the World Peace Council.
Okay. I'm here with a couple of retired members of the BC Teachers Federation, and they have a tattered-looking banner here. Can you tell me a little bit about why you're here and what's going on here?
Well, this banner has been carried in these marches and other marches, which are favorable to what we like to think society should be, since 1972, which contributes to its tattered appearance. And we will continue to do so as long as we need to protest.
Are you going to hold on to the same banner for everyone?
I am, personally, yeah. I'm a retired one. It's retired, but I'm not going to retire, and I'm not going to retire myself. So,
I guess you answered that. Okay, thank you. And what's your name?
I'm Les Rowe.
I'm here with Linda Chovatek of the Communist Party of Canada. Tell me, what is this Communist Party of Canada?
I'm trying to think if we're the oldest registered party in Canada or not, but we've been around since 1927, early 20s anyway, sort of, despite being illegal about three times during the party's history.
So why don't we know about it? Like, how's the party doing? How many members are there?
I'm not sure on the membership. It's comparatively small at the moment. They tend to... I don't know what's worse, when we get outlawed or when they decide that we're unfashionable, but the ideas of social justice never really go out of fashion. It's always hard to get people involved in anything political these days, and there's so much else happening, and it's so much to the advantage of the powers that be to keep people sort of depressed and, what's the point of getting involved in any sort of political action? It won't do any good anyway. And we just sort of hunker down and buy stuff, be good little consumers, and, yes, get our degrees as soon as possible and get nice upper-class jobs, and then we can just sort of piss on the rest of the world.
So why are you with the Communist Party as opposed to any other party?
I think because the Communist Party is a great way of tying in all sorts of people's struggles. You know, if you're involved in the women's movement, you come up against problems. If you're involved in the peace movement, you come up with, you know, militarism. And if you're involved in the environmental movement, you come up with sort of major corporate interests destroying the environment. And at a certain point, you sort of come to realize, hey, all these things are manifestations of the capitalist system. So wouldn't it be kind of sensible to, you know, analyze things in terms of the capitalist system, and maybe we do something about that, and then it'll be easier for women and for, you know, sorting out environmental problems and, you know, the temptations to war are, I mean, there's people making serious money on it. Last night at the opening ceremonies of the Peace Forum, they were saying, you know, well, basically the whole thing, war is stupid, nobody benefits. Well, there's people that really benefit from war, which is why we have so many of them. And people benefit from war because they're making serious money from it. There's, you know, oil, and whenever there's a war, you immediately say, okay, well, in this case, where's the oil, or who's benefiting, you know, Halliburton. And that's why war makes incredible sense if you happen to have a fair bit of money and power. Yeah. So the way you can't really talk just about bringing peace just by everybody sitting around and, you know, being tolerant of one another and going to the proper Montessori schools. I mean, there are really economic forces behind the drive to war, and you've got to understand that and fight against them and realize who has the power and what they're gaining from it.
Are people still calling you Reds, like people of the Communist Party? Is that still happening?
Oh, well, it's still kind of a big joke. We tend to call ourselves Reds. So, yeah. Well, it's kind of traditionally the color red. It's an international sort of movement, and in some places the color red traditionally was sort of symbolic of the blood that working people shed, either on the job or in struggles of various kinds. So it has a historical thing that you sort of have to sort of embrace it, because people have to be aware of their histories.
Do you find people often have a false perception of what the Communist Party is?
Oh, for sure. You don't go through all those years of Cold War and the whole demonization. You know, before the time of the Russian Revolution, sort of back to the Paris Commune and Marx, and, you know, they had all this silly idea that, well, because communists were in favor of things in common, oh, well, there must be, you know, sharing women, and then later we were bayoneting babies and all this sort of nonsense. And then, of course, the Cold War is that you were unpatriotic or something if you're a communist. If you tend to be any sort of a threat to the established order, you tend to get demonized in one way or another. In fact, you sort of, when you start to become cool and fashionable, you start thinking, okay, where are we going wrong here? We're obviously not a threat anymore.
You're profitable once you start becoming cool, right?
Well, look at all the people wearing your Che Guevara as a marketing image. You know, I sort of have to remember that he was a revolutionary who died very much for his principles. You know, and to put him on a soft drink bottle is,
Okay, thank you very much. I'm here with Barbara Waldron of the ILPS, International League of People's Struggles, and you had a conference earlier this week. How did it go?
It went really well. We had well over 130 delegates. Okay, we had well over 130 delegates from 10 countries, and we invited special speakers, some of whom are already members of the International Coordinating Committee of the International League of People's Struggles, ILPS. And so we came to a lot of unity on how we understand peace. Just and lasting peace means that we think that peace can be found, genuine and lasting peace can be found through struggle, and through struggle for our overall liberation, national social liberation, democracy, and that the main cause of our major problems in the world is the global economic system called imperialism, very aggressive, inherently violent system, exploiting system. And we have to tackle all aspects of that, converge as an anti-imperialist movement for something different.
What are your future goals of the ILPS? Where is the ILPS going now?
Well, we'll have our next International Assembly at the end of 2007, so we'll take the products of some of these conferences we've had since the last one in 2004 and the campaigns that we've had. Of course, we'll look at the current events and develop our analysis further, develop our campaigns. To be able to do that, this work of having conferences and campaigns is really important, because we need to build the organizations locally and nationally so that we can do more together. Right now, we're mainly doing education. We're doing symbolic protests mostly, trying to develop our political education, create more of a network. But we can come out and be more on the streets and more visible if we build our own organizations locally. So that was one big accomplishment from the conference. We took a pledge to oppose Canada's part in imperialist aggression and build anti-imperialist work in Canada.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
The march seems to be starting here. We got some momentum. Half people are moving, half are standing. Oh, good. This isn't a military march. We're not real rigid. We're just really relaxed. Hard to get a read of what the crowd is here because it's a two-headed crowd going from both sides of downtown and meeting at the beach. Oh, we are a big crowd. Wow. I can see people as far as my eye will let me go. And we're already on the bridge. And I'm probably in the middle. I'm just getting onto the street here. Hello there.
You didn't hear that, did you?
No, I didn't hear it.
Sir.
Maybe the recorder picked it up, but I didn't. Okay, so what's your sign here?
We're QP.
What's QP for?
Canadian Union of Public Employees. So we service all the municipalities and lots of healthcare workers, social workers, RCMP member, people working taking calls for the public, Pacific Blue Cross, universities, schools, everywhere.
Is QP conferencing at the World Peace Forum? Is there any events that they're speaking at?
There's members of QP speaking at different events, but QP itself isn't.
Okay, thank you. So everyone's kind of deciding on a speed here. We were walking pretty fast there as I was trying to, I guess we're trying to catch up to others. Pretty soon I think we're going to follow one solid mass of peace. It will be a whole piece instead of a bunch of pieces. Yes. Before this march, we were just a bunch of separate pieces. And now we're all coming together and uniting as one piece. Seattle Peace Chorus. So there's a statue with a big, let's say, 5-foot George Bush holding a puppet that and it represents Mr. Stephen Harper. And the way they've tied this thing up, the cord that's keeping the statue up is actually tied around Mr. Bush's neck. And I think that is a wonderful thing. Or a, I have no opinion because I am a reporter. We've got animals here at the march today. So animals came to join the march. Why'd you join?
Because we're people, too.
Animals are people, too. That's great.
And what humans do to the world, to each other, they also affects the work, animals and everyone else, doesn't it? Sometimes we get left behind with all this people stuff. So everything that happens affects all of us, including the environment, of course.
Okay, and that's the eagle speaking. On the sidewalk of the Burrard Street Bridge is effectively a fast lane now. So I'm going to use this to catch up to some people that I have not met yet.
All the way.
This is the ILPS people.
The U.S. war machine from the rack all the way to the Philippines.
U.S. imperialist
Number one terrorist!
U.S. imperialist!
Number one terrorist!
Iraq all the way to the Philippines.
Occupation is a crime from Iraq to Pakistan.
Now it's the international solidarity movement.
From Afghanistan to Palestine. Occupation is a crime from Iraq to Palestine.
We got the whole globe here.
People united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated.
No one's really got beach towels here. All right, can I interview someone here? How do you impeach the entire administration?
Start with the president and work our way downward. You get rid of him, you get rid of the vice president, the rest of them go on their own.
Cheney has charges up against him. Rumsfeld has charges up against him. Bush is already a war criminal. Tell me that you can't get this entire administration out.
Maybe you got to impeach the people that are putting charges on them, because they're not doing their job, are they?
That's absolutely. They should all be in the dock right now. We're working on it.
Good luck. I see you probably have the biggest sign here today. It's about, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We got 7 people holding up this sign.
We have the most to atone for. We need to have the biggest banner.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
The Peace Empire. The emperors have no clothes.
Yes. We'd like them to see themselves dressed in peace.
All right, great. Who's this other fellow? Is that Cheney?
Yes, that's Cheney.
I got some work to do now. The next group's kind of ahead of me. So, yeah, it is a balmy day. It's wonderful. Couldn't ask for better weather. So now I'm with the lead section of the peace march. Got the Raging Grannies ahead of me. Can you tell me a little bit about the Raging Grannies?
Oh, well, we've been going on since 1987. It started in Victoria, and it's spread all over Canada, and now it's all over the U.S. The American Grannies are doing a fabulous job about trying to stop the war. They've been going to recruiting stations and joining up and saying that they want to go to Iraq instead of the children. And, so we do all kinds of stuff, and we sing about anything that we think is wrong. And it keeps balance and humor in our lives, because there's so many bad things going on that, you know. So we enjoy ourselves, and we do something good.
So it really started in Victoria. I didn't know that.
These people are in the Victoria Grannies, but they weren't in at the beginning. I joined, like, when the first time I saw the Victoria Grannies, probably about 2 months after they started.
Oh, yeah.
And I started a group on Gabriola Island in the Nanaimo area. So, and I've been a peace activist for 57 years. It's a while. It's about time we didn't have to be one anymore.
Well, you guys are in good shape. You guys are ahead of me.
I'm going to be 79 in a couple of weeks. I'm still doing it.
We're now across the bridge, getting a lot of support from the passing traffic. Carnival band. Carnival Band. Boy, the people in this part of the crowd, they kind of move a little bit differently. Now we're going on to Hornby Street. And we're stopped. I'm at the very, very front of the crowd now, and we're all stopped. I think where peace is coming back in as one piece, reuniting. And here's the official signal to start once more. And we're off again. American Indian Movement. I'm just going to wave back to the back of the crowd that I have not yet covered. That's very fitting to have the First Nations people at the head of the crowd, as it is their land that we're on, and we've never apologized for having stolen it from them. There we have the Seattle Peace Chorus. What is the Seattle Peace Chorus?
It's a chorus of people that sing for peace. Yeah.
And everyone's from Seattle?
Everybody that has a shirt like this and some others, yeah.
Shirts today, yes.
Okay, that's great.
Seattle, representing the majority of people in the United States who want peace.
Okay.
23 years. We've sung in Russia and in Cuba and around the world.
So why did you decide to come to this particular event?
Because we couldn't stay away.
Yeah, okay, thank you. It's much harder to go against the crowd, I must say. I found the Interfaith Peace Walk. What is the Interfaith Peace Walk?
It's a group of Native Americans, Australians, and monks from the Myoho-Jo Rapunzel order of Buddhists.
Okay, so it's all faiths marching together.
Yeah.
Okay. You walk from Seattle?
We left Seattle on the 9th of the month. Yeah. We came here yesterday, and we're marching on in this.
So what's that been like?
Oh, very rewarding, very experienced. Very nice walk.
How many people are you?
We started out with 15. We still got about 8 of us now. Small contingent had to go back to California.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What's your name?
My name is Larry Bringingood from New York.
He was a Native American, seemingly. I cannot really say, but what does it matter? I mean, you have faith, you believe in stuff. That's good. As long as it's not war. So I've been talking with people that are with various groups in this march, but I don't want you to get the idea that it's only groups that have come to these sorts of things. There's a lot of regular citizens who just standing up for their rights, taking the chance to show that they want peace and that it's a good idea, but it's still only an idea. Hi there. I see your sign, Athens.